Thank you. Gospel of John, it was at his last meal with the disciples that Jesus offered them the gift of his peace and told them not to be afraid. But that was before his arrest, trial, and crucifixion. A few days later, they were huddled in a room with the door locked, very much afraid and not at peace. Suddenly, the risen Jesus stood before them and said to them, "Peace be with you." He showed them his hands and his side and said again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." That's a commission to the disciples. Call it the Peace Commission. That is, if you want to be truly at peace with God as a follower of Jesus, you need to consider what Jesus did as an emissary from his Father, what he taught and how he taught it, how he brought the good news of God's love and healing to all kinds of people. It is a commission of the church to be for the world what Jesus was to Israel, a brighter of light, a bringer of light, a pointer to the future God has for the world when people are reconciled to God and each other. We don't feel adequate for such a commission, neither did the disciples. Maybe that's why Jesus then breathed upon them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," and told them it was within their power either to offer forgiveness of sins or to withhold this message. Sobering commission, isn't it? When Jesus offered his peace yet once more, this time to Thomas, he showed his wounds, hands, and side to Thomas. At this table, we remember those wounds, the cost of the peace we so freely offer each other every Lord's Day. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Let us partake of this bread. Let us partake of this juice.
Thank you. verse 22, Apostle Paul is preaching a lengthy sermon. What is recorded for us of that sermon, and he says in verse 22, "And when he had removed him," speaking of King Saul in the Old Testament, the first king of the nation of Israel, or should I say, the second king of the nation of Israel. Somebody tell me who the first king of Israel was.
King Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen. It was the Lord God Almighty.
Yes. Amen.
What a bad idea to replace God with anybody or anything else. And after the Lord had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And I want to speak today on this topic, after God's heart.
Yes.
After God's heart.
Hallelujah.
And talk for a few minutes on this subject and open up our hearts, God, today. Open up our minds to receive the seed, O God. Let the fallow ground and worship that has been broken up be ready, O God, to receive the good seed of the Word. Let it find good soil in our hearts and minds, and let our spirits be transformed, Lord. Renew us, O God, by transforming our minds by your holy truth and words today. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Continue the great work that you are doing among us today through this sermon, through the rest of the meeting, throughout this day, and on spilling over into our week next week. And we'll give you all the glory and all the praise. We are your servants. We are your people. We are the sheep of your pastor. We give you all praise and thanksgiving. After God's heart. There are many things that we are after in this life. Many things that we want and that we desire. Every time I've been driving over there to Wabash Hospital to visit with James Cooper. What a great choice of hospitals. What a great little jaunt. Get to drive through Albion and drive through that little intersection, stop at that stop sign, look at all those beautiful Ford F-150 trucks sitting at that parking lot. Why, Lord, have mercy. That's a beautiful looking piece of plastic and metal and paint there. My dad and I, we drove through there the other day, and he finally got figured out what's going on. We drove through there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, thank you.
Amen.
Yeah.
There are things that I would like to have. There are things that I would like to have in my life. I go over there to Brother Patrick's house and look out over the fields and see the beautiful property that they have out there. And I complain to my wife about my taxes. And every time I've been over his house, I always come home and complain about my taxes and complain about my little itty bitty yard. And there are some things I'd like to have in life. There's some things that I desire in life. And we all desire things.
Yeah.
Some of them are good. Some of them are bad.
Right.
Some of the things that we desire get us into all sorts of trouble. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And he says there in the NIV, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Oh, there's a lot of things that I'd like to have, but sometimes I wonder if my want and my poverty isn't because God has given me things and I have not been a good steward of them. And you've seen the way I have wasted the resources that He has imparted to me. How that I have used the resources, money, different times to enjoy myself and put pleasure in myself. And how that I have misused those things. And I wonder sometimes, didn't Jesus tell a parable? He said that He had three servants and he was going to take a trip. And He said, call three of His servants. And He said, I'm going to give you five talents. I'm going to give you two talents. I'm going to give you one talent. And take care of my money while I'm gone. You know, sometimes God tests us. And He tests our desires. And He tests our willingness to get our minds and our hearts off of our self-centered selves. If I can say it that way. And begin to look at the bigger picture of what God is trying to accomplish in us and through us. And He came back, the Bible says, in the parable after a time. It's okay if I just take a little time and preach today. Is that all right with you? But I got started a little bit early, so that means I can take a little more time. I try not to take 60 minutes like some of these long-winded preachers and preacherettes that have been up here. But I do promise to preach a little longer today. And He came back and He called His three servants in. And He said to the one servant, I gave you five talents. And I come to collect what is mine. And the servant looked at his master and said, here is your five talents. And by the way, while you were gone, I have accumulated five more talents. And so I'm going to give you 10 talents that you gave me. And what does in the parable this husbandman say? He said, you have done a good job, my faithful servant. He is, now that would make me happy. Wouldn't that make you happy if you was a boss or if you was a parent and you gave your kids an allowance and they went out and invested it wisely and came back and said, Mama, you gave me $10, but I got 20 this week. Oh, how would you feel about that? And that's what the master said to his servant. You have been faithful in these little things that I have given you. I'm fixing to make you ruler over so much more. I think sometimes God tests our desires to see what it is that is really in our hearts and to see what it is that is really a priority. Jesus said, where a man's heart is, there with his treasure, where his treasure is, there will his heart be. God tests the hearts of man to see what's in there, because God's got some ideas and His plans of His own.
Hallelujah.
1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. King Saul, the first human king of Israel, had just made a very big mistake in his authority and in his ministry. He had stepped out of the role of being a king and stepped into the role of being a priest because he was impatient, because he was fearful. And it says there in the NIV, what have you done? Asked Samuel. And Saul replied, when I saw that the men were scattering, and that you did not come at the set time, and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought. Everybody say, I thought. Oh, that's an infamous statement. We're after many things that we have many wants and desires. The path before each person, the Bible says, would seem to be right, but it ends in death.
That's right. Amen. Hallelujah.
He said, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering. Like we really need to seek the Lord's favor. My friend, if God called you from amongst the things and the stuff, and He anointed you with the holy oil from the prophet and priest Samuel, and He said, and establishing you as king over all my people. I don't think you need to be looking for the favor of God. Friend, if you don't have the favor of God with that, you ain't going to get the favor of God any other way. We worry about many things, but there is one thing Jesus said to Martha, you worry about me.
but there's only one thing that's needful, and Mary hath chosen that which is more needful. Oh, we have many desires and many things, and God is looking for people. God is looking for men and women who will be willing to be the person that God desires for them to be, and to do the works that God desires for them to do. Sad, isn't it? We read today in our class, John chapter 4, verse 23, and Jesus goes on in John chapter 4, verse 24, and he says in 4:23, the Father is looking for such to worship Him. Sad, isn't it, to know that God has got to go looking for somebody who's willing. You would think that people would be there ready. You would think that people would be Johnny on the spot, as the old saying goes. You would think that people would be lined up down the street, as it were, to get the employment of the Master and the King of the universe. You would think that people would be lined up and begging God, show me how I can work for you and please you.
Right, amen. Yes.
In Isaiah chapter 65, verse 2, in the New Living Translation, the prophet said, "Of the voice of God all day long, I open my arms to a rebellious people, but they follow their own evil paths and their own crooked schemes." Sad to know that God put His favor on the nation. He said, through the words of the prophet, "I have planted myself a vineyard. I dug it up and I eradicated every evil thing from it. And I built a wall around it so no animals could come in and spoil the vines. And I picked the perfect location with a little bit of rolling hills. And I picked the choicest, the sweetest, the most prolific grapevines that there are. And I planted them down in my vineyard. And I stood and I looked and I waited to see that it would bring me some grapes." And he said, "But instead of bringing me those sweet, prolific grapes, it brought forth wild grapes." Oh, my friend, God is looking for someone who would be willing, as the prophet Isaiah was when he had a vision of heaven. He heard a voice coming out from the throne of God, and the voice of God said, "Who will go? Who will I send?" And the prophet Isaiah spoke up and he said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Oh, it's sad that God has got to go looking for people, amen, that want to be a part of what He is doing.
Yes, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13-14, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Many are called, but only a few are chosen." God is looking in this house today, into our hearts. God is looking at the Jesus Name Pentecostal Church. He's looking in Fairfield, County, Illinois. He is looking across this country and across this whole world, searching and seeking for somebody that's willing to heed His voice and obey His command. He chose David. Apostle Paul speaks to it. He says, "After removing Saul, He made David their king, and God testified concerning him." Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but oh, it would be nice to have a testimony of the living God over your life. Oh, when Jesus was baptized in the river, the Bible says the voice of the Lord spoke, and He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Oh, what praise. How about His Son Jesus? I'll tell you what pleased Him. It's what Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 19 and in many other places. Jesus gave them an answer. He said, "Verily, truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what He sees His Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." Yes. He was a man after God's own heart. Why? How could he be such a person? And the testimony was this: he will do everything I want him to do. Saul was rejected because Saul rejected God. God didn't just go around rejecting people, but we have to reject him first. We have to refuse him first. We have to disobey him first. It wasn't until Adam and Eve disobeyed in the garden that God rejected them. Oh, church, God is looking for men and women who are willing to receive and accept the commandments of God and live by them and become them and put them into practice. And if we will give ourselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice, I'm here to tell you, amen, there's no telling and no wonder. There's no explanation or imagination that can conceive of what God is fixing to do in the life of somebody. In due time. Oh, we're such a proud, egotistical creation. How, God, do I become a man after your heart? You become a man after God's own heart by doing the things that he wants us to do. David was called a man after God's own heart. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to know how to do the things that God wants us to do, all we need to do is look at the life of David. Was David perfect? No, he was not. Did David make mistakes? Yes, he did. But I'm going to tell you something about David. When he made a mistake, he was willing to admit to it and to own up to it and to take his punishment and his discipline that was required for that. That's what made David a man after God's own heart. Because when he made mistakes, he didn't try to cover it up. Oh yeah, we look at Adam and Eve in the garden when they made their mistakes. They went running and hiding for cover. We look at King Saul when he made mistakes. He started making excuses and doing all sorts of other things. Oh, but David was a man after God's own heart. Church, if you want to be a person after God's heart, we need to learn to own up to our mistakes and our failures. And when God points something out to us, we need to fall on our face. We need to beg God for his mercies and his forgiveness and his graces. Because that's what somebody who's after the heart of God will do. He is now into those who are of a broken and a contrite spirit. David said, you will not despise a person that is humble before you. God even turned the tide and turned his favor towards some of the most wicked of Israel's kings, because even for a split moment in their life, they humbled themselves. Just a second of humility before God can release the favors of heaven. We want to be the people after God's own heart. We've got to learn to be humble before him, no matter who's looking, no matter what anybody says. And I'm here to tell you that David, we look at King Saul, he was worried about what everybody was going to say. He worried about what everybody was going to think of him. But David never worried about what anybody said. He never worried about what anybody was saying about him or what they thought about him. He always did what God told him to do. Hallelujah. The Bible says that when David was bringing the ark back that had been lost in battle, back into its resting place in the tabernacle, the temple not yet built. As a matter of fact, I think the Bible says that David had built an additional location that was going to, over here at the old tabernacle where the sacrifices were going to continue to be made. But David had built another tent to put that holy tent, that holy ark. And it was going to be a place of worship and praise around the clock. Now, if you want to be a person after God's own heart, you are going to have to be a person that is not afraid to worship and praise God. The Bible teaches us that David learned musicianship and composing at a young age. Even as a young teenage boy, he was out in the pastures and out on the backsides of hills and valleys and mountainsides. tonight, and he hath built himself an instrument, learning how to craft, learn how to play and make music out of it, composing songs and worship and praise to God. It was said of David in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 1, one of the last things that David did before he died was write one more song to the Lord. Yes. You want to know how to be after God's heart? We need to learn to worship and praise Him with reckless abandon, no matter what anybody thinks or what anybody says. Oh, this is what it said in 2 Samuel 23 and 1, talking about David, and they called him the sweet psalmist of Israel. Oh, you want to be after God's own heart? You say, well, I can't sing. You need to quit making excuses and you need to praise God. Hallelujah. Give yourself in reckless abandon and spontaneous worship to the Lord. The Bible says that the power and the anointed singing and music of this man after God's heart, that it would drive away troubling and evil spirits. We've got to learn to praise and worship God in a manner of reckless abandon with skill and yet anointing, that it would drive away the evil and the darkness through the doors of our homes, that walks through the doors of the house of God. David was a man after God's own heart because he knew how to worship and praise his God. And the Bible says while they brought that ark back up and the priests carried on their shoulders, they would go so many paces. And the Bible says that David, right there in the middle of the street, Brother Patrick, hallelujah, he would make sacrifices. And the Bible says he took off his royal robes. He took off his fancy kingly garments. And he began to dance before the Lord. And the Bible says he danced. And he worshipped. And he praised. And he magnified God. All the way back to Jerusalem. Oh, if you want to be a man or a woman after God's own heart, you are going to have to start worshiping him. Like we don't care what so embarrassed, and she was so proud, and she was so embarrassed of David's worship, that when he came into the temple, into the palace, into the house where they lived, that she began to accuse him, and how you made a fool of yourself. And David looked at her and he said, I have only yet begun to make a fool of myself and worship to my God. Let me tell you something serious here today. Oh, the Bible says that God shut up the womb of his wife, Michael, and she died a barren, childless woman. I'm here to tell you, you can never be after God's heart. You can never win a soul. You can never bear a spiritual child into the kingdom if you're not a worshiper and a praiser of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah, hallelujah. David was not afraid to fight for what was right and what belonged to God.
Amen.
That's right.
Some people tell you, you can't be a musician, you can't sing and be a man. Let me tell you something, you can do it all.
Right.
Because God didn't build us and create us with limitations, but He built us and created us to take dominion and authority over the earth. And he was not afraid to fight for what was right and for what belonged to God. David knew who the enemy was, and he knew who the enemy was not.
Right. Amen. Yes, he recognized. Hallelujah.
You tell the difference between a sheep and a lion.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah.
You tell the difference between a lamb and a bear.
Right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus said that there are those that are hirelings. There are those that are just there for a paycheck. Many people follow Jesus as he performed miracles. Many people follow Jesus as he healed the sick and cast out devils and demons. And Jesus, he
created that parable and taught and said, yeah, there are many people that are coming for a paycheck, but when the wolf comes and when the adversary and the predator comes to attack the flock, a hireling will take up and they will run as fast as their little legs will carry them away from protecting the sheep. But he said that the shepherd will stand and fight against that predator for his sheep, because he loves his sheep, because they belong to him. And a man that is after God's own heart, a woman that is after God's own heart, they know who the sheep are, they know who the brothers and sisters are in Christ, and they know who the broken and lost sinners and lost sheep of this world are, and they can also tell the difference, and they know who the devil is, and they know his lies. They know that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness and wickedness in high places, and they are not afraid to fight the spiritual battle. But everybody else is running, everybody else is finding another church to go to that's backslid and spiritless and heartless and worshipless, where they can go and take it easy and collect a little spiritual paycheck. But those that are after God's heart will stand in the house of God. They will run. Hallelujah, they will lift up their shield of faith, and they'll pull out the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and they will begin to fight, they will begin to defend, and they will begin to stand the evil one, and no matter what they can do, and no matter how frustrating it gets, and when they've done everything that they know how to do, they're not going to shake their heads and bow their heads and hang their heads and say, well, I prayed every prayer that I know how to pray, and I've incantated every incantation that I know how to incantate, I've spoken in every tongue that I've ever learned how to speak in, and I've done this and I've done that, and nothing has happened. I think I'm just going to go back to the house. You can read that in the Old Testament about the Israelites. When they got in the battle and they lost, and when they knew the battle was lost, what did they always do? They always all went back to their tents. Oh, you can't be a man or a woman after God's own heart if you run to the tent when things look bad. It may just be a little field of lentils, but you've got to be that kind of person that's willing to stand your ground. You look at the man that came around King David, and you read about David's mighty men, and you read about the thousands that they killed, how that they climbed into pits in the middle of the winter with snow on the ground, and there was a hungry and desperate lion in the bottom of the pit. Climbed in that pit and he killed that bear. He killed that lion down in that pit. That's the kind of men that gathered themselves around David. And those are the kind of men and women that gather themselves around the Lord Jesus Christ. They are not afraid to fight. The man or a woman after God's own heart is afraid to fight. Saul, the king, he's over here. The Philistines are ravaging the countryside. And where do we find Saul and his little piddly army? We find him removed from the battle and under a pomegranate tree, catching the shade of the evening. Oh, but there was a man in the company that was after God's heart. And no wonder that him and David became the closest and bestest of friends, because there was a connection in the heart. There was a heart connection between those two men. And Jonathan and David were so much alike. And he said to his armor bearer, I'm not running from the enemy any longer. I'm tired of seeing him get away with what he's getting away with. Let's go and discover our position to the Philistines. And if God is for us, we are going to wield the sword unto victory today. That's what someone who is after God's heart will do. And run from the battle. And that's where we find Saul when Goliath is out there taunting, and he's hollering, and the champion of the Philistines is out there, and the whole army of Israel is hiding behind their enforcements or whatever they are at, and they're defending themselves in rocks and hills and caves, and the giant's coming out, and nobody's got the guts or the courage to go up against that giant. But when a man after God's heart walked into the camp of Israel, something began to stir in the spirit. Something began to move. Angels in heaven began to stir, and those who are standing around with their hands in their pockets pulled their hands out, and the Lord looked over at the angel, and the angel looked over at the Lord, and they said, a man after my heart has just walked into the camp. Talking about a man after God's heart. We're talking about a woman after God's heart.
Amen.
What's that old song that we used to sing? I've got a made up mind. Going to live and follow the Lord, whatever comes, what may. I don't know why God keeps going back to that theme in this church. So easy in our community and in our society to just take the easy way out. So easy to just sit in the house. So easy to just move on down the road to someplace where it's more comfortable. Let me tell you something. When you're in the will of God, it's not always going to be comfortable. A man or a woman who is after God's own heart is going to do the will of God, whatever God asks them to do, no matter how unpleasant it may be.
That's right.
The things that God asked David to do that I'm sure that he did not want to do. There were things that God required of David that I'm sure that were very, very unpleasant. There were people that had to be killed. There were battles that had to be won. There were nations that had to be brought under subjection. And I don't believe that David was a bloodthirsty man. He was not afraid to fight. He did have a lot of blood on his hands. But there were times and there were things and situations that God said, this is what I'm going to do. And it was unpleasant and it was ugly and it was painful. But he was willing to do what God wanted to be done, no matter how unpleasant. I tell you, it's an uncomfortable place to be in sometimes. But there's no more uncomfortable place to be in than not doing the will of God.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Right. The writer, I believe, in Romans makes it very plain and clear. It says, hey, no discipline for the present is going to be enjoyable.
Right.
You're not going to enjoy meeting out discipline. Right. And the person being disciplined is definitely not going to enjoy being disciplined.
Right.
But it's the mercies and the graces of God.
Yes.
He said that if you don't allow me to discipline you, that you are like an orphan living on the streets. You have no father and no one to care for you. But because God loves us, because God wants us to be perfect, because God wants us to enjoy all that he has, sometimes he disciplines us. And sometimes he asks us to do things that are uncomfortable. I mean, you can't even come to Christ. How many of you remember when you were still in sin and the conviction of the Holy Spirit was over you and God was calling you to an altar and to repent? And how many of you remember how uncomfortable that was? How many of you would do it differently? Yeah, I'd do it differently. I'd get there a lot quicker than I did the first time. I'd not waste so much time and so many years and so much frustration and having to live under so much condemnation. But it wasn't pleasant. It wasn't pretty. It was uncomfortable. It was painful. It was somewhat embarrassing to come before God and say, God, I'm a failure. My life is a failure. I need your help. Oh, what the joy that Jesus releases into our hearts when He forgives us of our sins. Oh, the joy and the freedom of having those shackles and chains off of our heart and mind that the devil had us locked into. Those stocks and bonds of sin and demonic power to walk away from that altar of repentance and to know I am free in Jesus. Or go anywhere to where that He doesn't have a blessing and a resource and an outpouring of His power that He is ready to release in your life. Oh, be after God's heart today. Ooh, what He's asking you to do. No matter what kind of circumstances, you got to make up in your mind, I'm going to do what God said to do. But when the dust settles, hallelujah, the Bible says, when I humble myself before Him, then I, in due time, is going to lift me up.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. To do what God asks us to do, even if it is unpleasant. And sometimes being after God's own heart means being willing to wait for God's timing,
right,
and fulfilling His calling in our lives.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. To be willing to be where you are. To be willing to go through what you're going through.
Hallelujah.
To be willing to follow the path no matter how long it may be. That is what people after God's heart do. You know, David was anointed to be king quite a period of time before he ever sat on the throne.
I remember when
I was assisting here in the Jesus Name Pentecostal Church, and I was sitting back there one day praying. I lost track over the years of the multitude of prayer sessions that I've had at this church. I tell you, you almost hate to think about growing and building a new building and moving to another location because you've had so many wonderful experiences with God here. Oh, and I'm glad there's spiritual memories that we can take with us wherever we go. Amen. But I was back there praying, and the Lord said, this time next year, you're going to be the pastor of this church.
Lord.
Well then, hallelujah. Amen. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And a year later, I wasn't the pastor. And I went back and I talked to the Lord, and I said, now you said that a year from now I was going to be the pastor. Mr. Church, how come I'm not the pastor? Did I not hear you? I said, God, I need to know that when I hear you, that I'm hearing you. I need to know that when I discern your voice, that it is your voice and not someone else's or mine. And the Lord spoke to me in my spirit. He said, in the minds of the people, you're already the pastor. And then He reminded me that David was anointed king long before he sat on the throne. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. God moves in our lives, and He gives us promises and visions and dreams. Some of those things take time to fulfill. Some of those things require a season in God's plan. Sometimes He reveals big things that are coming down the road, and it can get frustrating. We can get a little bit impatient, and we can begin to see ourselves, I'm going to do it God's way. I was talking to Brother Chipwood in Cambria the other day, and I was like, Brother, he said, Brother, God's been good. We had over 250 on Mother's Day, and we averaged 155 in the month of April. You know, they built that $1 million church. That's the biggest thing in Cambria. Everybody's like salivating, all the pastors locally salivating, all the saints of God, you know, all the sound men salivating over their sound system, their sound booth, and their old church will fit on their platform of their new church facility. And I said, Brother, you know, you got to share some secrets with us. You got to let that rub off on me a little bit. And he said, Brother, I have been in Cambria for 30 years. Their church is nearly, the old church is nearly the identical size of this church. I was here, he said, for 30 years, praying, fasting, preaching, witnessing, baptizing. But it wasn't God's time. And I know that aggravates the human mind, but it wasn't God's time. But there were things that were happening. There were things that were transpiring. There were pieces that were moving and God was getting things ready. And He knew what it was going to take. And He knew the help that was going to be needed. He knew a lot of things. And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, Lord have mercy, 30 years. That's a long time, Jesus. I'll be like Abraham. I'll be 100 years old before I see it come to pass. And all of our veteran season saints said amen to that. Sometimes it calls us, not sometimes, all the time. Yes, there are things that God does along the way. Yes, there are things that happen quickly. Yes, there are things that happen from moment to moment and day to day. God is always moving and working. We're seeing Him all the time. But sometimes He imparts a vision. When He finds somebody after His heart, He imparts a vision into them. It puts it in their heart of things to come to pass in the future. They have to, a person after God's own heart, when the days get long and when the monotony sets in and the weariness of the mind and flesh begins to say, when is it ever going to happen? A person after God's heart will be willing to wait for God to make the move and do what He wants to do.
Hallelujah.
Those who are after God's heart and those who do what He wants them to do will be sustained by God's power and by His love and by His supply. You may stand at this time. David said this in one of his Psalms, I was young and now I'm old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken, and nor any of their children begging for bread. Why? Because when you're after God's heart, God will sustain you by His own power and by His love and by His supply. Psalm 89:20-22. I have found David, my servant, with my sacred oil I have anointed him. My hand will sustain him. Surely my arm will strengthen him. The enemy will not get the better of him. The wicked will not oppress him. My right arm. Aren't you glad the Lord holds us up with His right arm? Hallelujah. What does that mean? That means that He's holding us up with the strongest arm that He has. Those who go after the heart of God will be sustained by the power, the love, and the provisions of heaven. Psalm chapter 18. Verse 2, David said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Verses 31 through 36, for who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken in my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. Thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. If we're after the heart of God, we will be supported.
sustained and reinforcements will come from heaven. When Jesus was fasting in the wilderness for 30 days, for 40 days, the Bible says that afterwards the devil tempted him, and when he passed the test, sometimes the road gets long, but Jesus hung right in there. And the Bible says when he finished the testing in the wilderness, the battle with the devil, verse 33 in the New Living Translation. These things he's talking about, that these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Cars and houses and Ford F-150s and acreages and mansions and bank accounts. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs.
Praise.
Praise Him. Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So what does God want from us today? Seek the kingdom of God above all else.
Yes.
And live righteously. And He will give you everything you
Hallelujah.
Let's bow our heads together.
Thank you, Jesus.
And let's talk to the Lord for a minute.
Hallelujah.
Have you been fearful? Have you been running from a fight? It's time to be after God's heart. Have you been holding back your worship and prayer? It's time to be after God's heart. Have you been getting impatient and doing things prematurely? It's time to get after God's heart. Have you been blowing up in pride and trying to hide and trying to make excuses for the things that you know you should be doing that you're not? It's time to get after God's heart. Are you putting off things because you don't want to do them because they don't look and sound very pretty or comfortable? And it's things you just don't want to do. It's time to get after God's heart. God is here to support you today. God is here to support you today. What He is looking for is a heart that is in the right place. What He's looking for, a heart that wants God's will and God's kingdom and God's work and God's love and everything that God is to be working in us and moving in our lives. Let's pray together right now. Sister Stacy sings. Let's just ask God to let all of the weights and sins that have tripped us up be laid aside. And let's start running this race with patience and focus, pressing for that prize like we never have before. Let's sing together.